This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The following message is rated M, and it's recommended for mature audiences. It may contain adult themes and strong language. Some material may not be suitable for children. Now, if you're sitting in a movie theater and that message, that warning comes up on the screen, you immediately kind of sit up in your seat. Pay a little closer attention, and especially if you're with kids or grandkids, your protective parental antenna kind of goes up, and you're paying attention to what's being said and done. And I would think that if you're a young person sitting in that kind of a theater and that kind of a warning comes up, you might go through sort of the same process. You might wonder, first of all, am I in the wrong theater? But maybe you're also wondering, I wonder if mom and dad heard this mature content warning. And maybe you're even thinking, oh, I better pay attention because I'm going to hear or see something that I wouldn't normally see. And so I guess while movie ratings are part of today's entertainment experience, you wouldn't necessarily expect to receive that kind of a rating when you sit yourself down in a pew at church. But that changes today, because today's message is definitely rated M, because it's for spiritually mature audiences. If you think about that second lesson, Paul speaks of the difference between addressing spiritual children and spiritual adults. That passage is from his first letter to the Christians in the church in Corinth. And he reminds them that when he first came to them, he didn't come speaking of the mystery of God using lofty language or what he calls words of wisdom. He couldn't, because they were too young in the faith. They were spiritually immature, and they weren't ready for wisdom of that kind. But then, starting in verse 6, something changes. Paul recognizes that among mature believers, he can and he does go deeper into the mystery about God in Christ. Paul knows that for the people of God, studying and understanding Scripture is not the same as studying and understanding other subjects like philosophy or literature. Paul's telling us that when the Word of God is proclaimed or when it's read, something spiritual takes place. It's not the same as studying any other subject. The words of wisdom written in Holy Scripture have to be understood not just intellectually, not just rationally. They need to be understood in the deep spiritual places of our heart and soul. Paul talks about it this way. He says, "We speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual." Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? "Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they're unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." I have a friend to whom I once tried to explain how God instantaneously and miraculously healed me from what for me had been a lifelong, debilitating, and just absolutely horrible fear of flying. And as I tried to describe how this all came about as a supernatural answer to a desperate prayer, my friend just kind of looked at me with this dumbfounded look. He wasn't getting it. He kept offering all kinds of rational and natural explanations as to how this miracle, at least it was a miracle in my eyes, how this could have happened. It was the most powerful spiritual experience I had ever had, and I'm trying to relate it to somebody, and there's no connection there. As Paul said, my explanation of what had happened to me sounded like foolishness to him, because he wasn't spiritually in a place where he could even hear what I was talking about. I just saw this friend again in January. And it's kind of a happy report to me that he is now in a very good place spiritually. He discovered God's grace through, of all things, a 12-step program. And now we're able to talk about spiritual things. And we're connecting at a level that we hadn't been able to connect together in years. And that's a good thing. In our first lesson, the prophet Isaiah was delivering an M-rated message to the people of Israel. Did you catch this? He was basically calling the people out and accusing them of spiritual immaturity. Isaiah was trying to get across to the people that it was no good just going through the motions as people of faith. Our text says that the people were concerned because it didn't seem to them like God was paying attention to them. Their fasts were ineffective, and their prayers were going unanswered. And on the surface, at least, they seemed to be doing everything right. But their spirituality was only skin deep. And Isaiah delivers an M-rated message that really can only be understood by the spiritually mature. Isaiah tells Israel that God isn't interested in superficial faith. He tells them and he tells us, if we're only going through the motions religiously, if our faith isn't really affecting the way we live our lives, then we shouldn't be too surprised if God isn't really blessing that way of life. Isaiah is letting us know God wants our hearts. God wants our lives to reflect the faith we espouse. When we're standing against injustice, when we're feeding the hungry, like we're going to do today when we assemble homeless lunches, when we're sheltering the homeless, when we're showing loving kindness to our family members, then the light of our lives as people of faith, and this is how Isaiah puts it, and it's just beautiful, shall break forth like the dawn, and our healing shall spring up quickly, and the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. In other words, God's going to be with us. God looks with favor on mature faith, the kind of faith that actually affects the way we live. I think Israel was experiencing what happens when they've distanced themselves from God, when they're only giving lip service to their faith. But in the last part of that passage, the prophet just affirms God's promise to be near and to answer prayer of those who observe not just the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. When we're just going through the motions religiously, we might be fooling ourselves, but we're not fooling God. God is just waiting to bless the lives of his faithful people. And as we move from immature to mature faith that actually shows up in the way we live, the prophet says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. That is a description of the blessed life as the people of God, and it's God's promise to us. But I'm going to suggest to you that this isn't a message that spiritual children or even secular people can easily receive. But it's a message that brings comfort and strength to us as we proceed on that lifelong, uncommon journey of faith that draws us closer and closer to God. So this brings us at last to our gospel lesson. It's from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And last week, St. Matthew gave us the Beatitudes. It's the very beginning of that Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about how those Beatitudes defined a new normal for the people of God. And this new normal isn't just for the elite. It's custom made for anyone who lives their faith. And yeah, that new normal might fly in the face as to what the normal thing, you know, the world thinks is normal. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his closest followers what life in the kingdom of God looks like. And so today's gospel lesson comes immediately after the Beatitudes. And it doesn't take too much reflection to recognize that despite the simple words that Jesus uses in this passage, that this part of the Sermon on the Mount really does carry with it a message that's very much rated M. It's a message that'll be difficult for the masses surrounding Jesus to understand. And yeah, maybe it'll be a little bit easier for his closest followers who are also close at hand, but we're blessed that it's best understood by us who are hearing this message with what we can call post-resurrection ears. And Jesus starts out this message easy enough. He starts out talking about salt and light, two subjects that even, well, just anybody in his day would be able to follow and understand. People today, people then knew that salt is both a flavor enhancer and a preservative. Light, easy topic, illuminates whatever it shines on. Jesus is telling his audience that somehow the life we live as his followers, if we're being salt, if we're the salt of the earth, that somehow the life we live ought to add savor to the world around us. He's saying that in some sense, his followers are going to add a certain zest to everything that's going on around them. And maybe at a little deeper level, this idea of salt carries it with it that idea of a preservative. And maybe you got to be a little more spiritually mature to grasp this, I don't know. But as the people of God live kingdom lives, the way they live is going to help preserve things like peace and joy in the world. And the power of the enemy, the devil, becomes less and less of a factor. So salt, savor, preserve. And I think everybody would have heard these as basically words of encouragement. They're pretty easy to hear as good news or gospel, but it's what comes next that I think is really only understood by people of mature faith. I doubt that it would have been grasped at all by the crowds around Jesus. Probably, maybe perhaps by his disciples. But the full implications of what Jesus is calling for as righteous living, righteousness, would have been pretty tough to hear, I think. Jesus ends that passage by saying, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Tough words. And I have to think that if we hear those words and take them literally, they sound like anything but good news. There's no way the average person is going to even approach the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because you know the scribes were the experts in religious law. They knew all the ins and outs of the 613 laws that appear in the Hebrew scriptures. And the Pharisees, they were a group of lay people that made it their business to live as strictly and as closely as possible to those 613 laws. They were sticklers for detail. And they thought that if everyone in Israel could just live one day in total accordance to the law, then Messiah would come and Israel would be vindicated. So when Jesus tells his audience that to secure a place in the kingdom of heaven, it was necessary to live more righteously than the scribes and the Pharisees, I don't know, any thinking person would know how difficult, how impossible that would be. I would think that it would be enough to drive people with superficial faith into total despair. You know, at this point that Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, it's only Matthew chapter 5. It's pretty early in his ministry. And at this point, the scribes and the Pharisees aren't his sworn enemies. But the people knew how they lived. And his closest followers would have known that trying to live like the scribes and Pharisees was setting that bar for righteous living much higher for them than it would be for them to follow it. They would never be able to live up to that kind of life. And so it's right here, I think, that we're kind of blessed that we get to read these words with post-resurrection eyes. Because we know that despite good intentions, God's people have never been able to live completely by the law. We're always coming up short. We know what we want to do. We know what we should do. We just can't do it. In fact, as good Lutherans, we would say it's the knowledge of the law and our inability to live up to it that makes us aware of the need for a Savior. Without God's grace, and without the righteousness that we claim through faith in Christ's perfect life and sacrificial death, there'd be no way that we could stand before a holy God. And so that M-rated message for us today is that the righteousness that is ours comes not through our own efforts or from trying harder to be a good person. This righteousness comes as a gift. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ's saving work on the cross. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, "For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Thanks be to God that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. God's M-rated word for us today is that Jesus didn't die on the cross to make bad people good or even good people better. Jesus died so that we who are dead in our sins, might live with him forever. And our proper response to that gift of heaven, begin living kingdom lives right now, where we care about each other and show the love of God that has for us by the way we treat each other. Amen.